Hello and welcome everyone to the third episode of the second season of Talkboard. We are joined by Saguza, Little Layla, and Sparky again from last week. This episode came a bit of a surprise even to us, as a full-fledged ROM exploit was released today from the iPhone 4S all the way to the iPhone 10. And we're just here to sort of discuss it, inform you guys a little bit more about it, what it can be used for, the limitations,
and to mentally deal with this.
So there's obviously I'm seeing on Twitter there's Jamie, you don't need introduction, you're a host.
Wow, that's offensive.
Yes, hello, look, it's Jamie. He's seeking attention right now. So, as you go sort of on Twitter and stuff, you see a lot of misconceptions flying around about what this exploit can and can't do. So, do you guys maybe want to sort of just help everyone be aware of what it actually can do and what it actually can't do?
Well, it's a USB exploit, so it can only run tethered. You basically need to connect your device to your computer to run it. Mm-hmm.
But it's semi-tethered, so you don't need your computer to boot up your device, you just need your computer to boot up in Pwn.
I suppose you could have two partitions or like two setups or something like that, so that you could still boot into unjailbroken mode without a computer. To actually run Pwn, you need to tether. Other than that, in terms of permissions that it grants you, it's basically everything except for the secure enclave. Mm-hmm. But you could boot a full fledged Android on your device with this. That's the kind of capability we're talking.
So what, you would boot Android, you would disconnect from the computer, and you could use Android on your iOS device?
Yeah,
you could, and in the past, this has been done, actually. There was the iDroid project. Mm-hmm. Not that I would personally do this. I'm not much of a fan of Android. But you could.
So has anyone informed XDA? Because it's going to be a very fun time for them once they figure that out. I'm waiting for the request for Vaulty on an Android ROM for the iPhone 10.
Yeah. When can we get that again? I want Android on my iPhone.
I don't.
Well, that's not my cup of tea. So,
when ETA.
Kindly ask someone else.
Yeah.
You can be alone in working on that. That can be your thing.
Oh god.
What we can do though is jailbreak and run any version of iOS on the iPhone.
Right. If you calculate, the A9 still gets iOS 13. Mm-hmm. So the 10 should get 14 and the 11 15. So we can pretty much say for safe that iOS 15 is going to be jailbroken with this bug.
Which is crazy. But, one other question I wanted to ask. I'm seeing a few people on Twitter. I don't know how many, but I think the main one I saw was Ahmed Al-Laib. I really apologize if I'm pronouncing that name wrong. But he was the same person who discovered that Sock Puppet still works on 12.4. He had trouble running the exploit on an A9 device.
Yeah, so I talked with Axiom. I and Lilo talked with Axiom X a bit, and mm-hmm. A9 support is currently not in the code. He says he has support for it, but his code is completely ugly and whatnot and kind of unreliable. Right. So he's going to publish that once he polished it out.
Okay. And I mean,
I and Lilo can say for certain that it is possible on A9 though.
Okay.
Yeah,
also,
because
reliably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you guys actually found this book before it was like announced.
Well, Lilo found it.
Yeah, I found it back in March, and then
he
first exploited
it. Yeah, he told me about it back in May.
Yeah, and then we teamed up and basically got together in July, I think, and then exploited it on A8X, and A9. Mm-hmm. So we can say for sure that those versions are vulnerable to it, and it works there perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So what are some potential uses aside from just a semi-tethered jailbreak that you could see for this? And you mentioned sort of Android ROMs, so could we see something akin to a Linux build on an iOS device?
I mean, theoretically, you can run literally any software that you can compile for ARM 6.
You could potentially run Windows for ARM on this device, provided that you could patch up the drivers to, you know, talk to the hardware accordingly. But
the most exciting prospect for security research is kernel debugging. Mm-hmm. So you could flash literally any kernel.
Boot ROM debugging, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you can debug anything apart from SAP.
Yeah. I mean, for researchers, there's a ton of other uses. You can also decrypt basically any firmware component other than SAP OS. Mm-hmm. But for normal users, it's basically you can load anything you want. Mm-hmm. Be it a patched iOS and Android, Windows on ARM if you can patch that up.
Wow.
It's an interesting point as well, though, isn't it? Because I think people, when the set came out, they're like really skeptical of whether it actually added anything to the iOS like security architecture. But like even now, once the boot ROM's like completely like gone, basically, like any security assumption you can make about the boot ROM is gone. And like the rest of the boot chain, like the set is still secure at the end of the day, and like you still need a passcode to access users' data, don't you? So,
I mean, well, okay. So if you set up iOS as normal, mm-hmm. and you have your passcode and it's non-jailbroken and everything, mm-hmm. and then someone comes along, like, I don't know, rogue police officer, takes your phone, unlocks it with this bug, then he's still going to need the passcode. But if you set up an iOS installation with the intention of running jailbroken with this bug already, then you can configure basically the entire system to just not use SAP. Wow. And you also
have to do that in order to dual boot older versions, because otherwise you will end up with SAP incompatibility and you can't boot.
This is going to be a bit of a weird question. So you mentioned we'd have to sort of create it in a way where you go around SEP to avoid sort of incompatibilities and things. So would you have to like have a custom passcode implementation if you were to go down that route, if you wanted the passcode?
Well, I mean, 32-bit devices don't have the secure enclave, and there everything also works, so it should be possible to just remove the SAP completely from the system with patches, or you could maybe man in the middle sort of the communication between the application processor and the secure enclave processor, so that you would make an older firmware compatible with a newer SAP version.
Yeah, I mean, what you always can do is take whatever SEP is currently signed, load that onto the device, and then you would just have to patch the driver of the kernel you're currently running to be able to talk to that SEP. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the other thing is, if you patch the driver to just, instead of talking to SEP, have like its own implementation that just stores stuff to disk, then the higher levels should be unaffected and continue to work as normal.
Mm-hmm. And there's also one other thing, because for now with 64-bit downgrade, you always had to downgrade all the components to a certain version. But in theory, now you could also run an iOS 13 kernel with iOS 12 user land or something like that. Wow. So you would have an older iOS, but newer kernel.
I mean, that would require a lot of patches that probably no one is willing to do, but
but the fact that it's possible is huge.
Yeah, I suppose. Obviously, this also gets around annoying things like KTRL and whatnot.
Yeah, you can just straight up not enable it when you.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't understand how excited I am to hear that. Like,
I mean, you could even re-implement the stuff they have on macOS for loading kexts at runtime.
Wow.
We have suffered. We have suffered for so long with KTRL.
Xerob has actually done the kex loading for iOS 9, or maybe not iOS 9, but iOS 8, as I understand it. And yeah, that would definitely be possible again.
Yeah, so, I don't know if the new kernel format, but yeah.
So from what I hear, this is basically security research at Christmas.
Yes,
definitely. I'm there at Christmas. It's Christmas for everyone, man.
Yes.
Yeah, because now you can install Shortlook on any version of iOS, any future version of iOS.
there goes Plugaholic.
Dude, you can dump the boot ROM. You can, like...
So what did we end up getting last time we got a boot ROM exploit? I believe it was the iPhone 4, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was Lime Rain.
Yeah, so that ended up with it being able to jailbreak no matter the iOS version.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. One question I think I saw in chat was, is there a possibility this leads to an untether? And as I understand it, the answer is no, right?
Yes, yeah. No.
So
not with this bug, anyway.
Yeah. Because the bug is in the USB stack, so you need to connect your device.
There is no way around USB communication to trigger this bug. So
although there's the idea that you can use like cheap hardware, like a Raspberry Pi Zero, and that to run the exploit. Yeah.
All I'm saying is, Jamie, I feel very good about my Raspberry Pi purchase now.
We can start selling like battery banks which charge your phone and
this is the exact idea I had.
Jamie, we need to Dynastic Merch needs to branch out. We need to get this included.
Okay, wait, Dynastic should sponsor it as long as it's got Dynastic branding all over it.
Just literally stick it on merch.dynastic.com and like just have it be like a Dynastic branded power bank that also jailbreaks your device.
Oh, okay. I mean, this is power bank. It's like innocent looking, but it hacks your phone.
Yeah. And like anytime your friend wants to borrow it, you're like, yeah, use this USB port, otherwise you're going to jailbreak your phone by accident.
Well, you'd still have to enter hardware if you with the key combinations of button presses.
Yeah.
So you aren't just vulnerable to.
So you need to be in DFU mode. That's a good.
Yeah, I mean, you could set up your phone with a broken LLB, and then you would drop into DFU automatically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So it wouldn't work in recovery mode. Only in DFU mode.
Yes.
Yeah, well, boot ROM only has DFU mode. Recovery mode is iBoot, and that's obviously already patched by Apple.
Right.
Yeah, for one, it's already patched, and for two, I think the code paths are different.
Yeah, yeah. Recovery shouldn't be vulnerable.
Okay.
All the personal recovery also.
So, did you see Jonathan Levin's tweet that alleged that Cellebrite, the people that have the, like, boxes,
yes. Yes, I've seen that.
It does substantiate their claim that they were still able to access devices on the latest iOS, and they never.
I mean,
the A12 devices as well. I think.
Well, I do know that they have a boot ROM exploit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it was this one even. It's possible they have another one that still works.
Or that
they have one. I don't know, but I know they have some boot ROM exploit at least.
Okay, here's a fun question for you. Do you think Apple can react? Will they react? If not, then where do they go from here?
So the bug has already been patched in the sources, but you know, because it's boot ROM, it's flashed onto the hardware. They can't. The only way they could do anything is by releasing a new hardware revision. But like,
so in theory, if you buy like a new iPhone, it wouldn't support the exploit.
Well,
that is
in
that
theory,
is possible,
if they but... if they change it, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but, yeah, and the same goes with the new iPad, with the new A10 chip, because the newest iPad also has the A10 chip.
Yeah, there's a new iPad.
I don't know if they would react to it.
Do you reckon that would support it? Because it's like just a few days before this obviously became public.
I mean, I don't know. I get the feeling that you know the iPod Touch 7th generation is based on A10 as well, and now the new iPad. I'm thinking there's the possibility that they just manufacture like a billion A10 chips too many.
Yeah.
And are trying to get them out now, but
yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are asking if like, will this boot ROM exploit if like make finding an untethered exploit easier? Can tether actually, like, just to be like 100% clear on that, this bug cannot be untethered because it fundamentally requires
USB. Yeah, this bug itself will not be used in an untethered way, but what it could obviously do is help find a bug that could be used for an untether, or when such a bug is found, develop the untether. Because when you develop an untether, there's kind of a big chance that you mess something up and then your system won't boot. And this bug would obviously help you recover from such a situation. Lila can sing you a song about that.
Yes, because I'm developing an untether for iOS 11 still, and it gives me the ability to test on every iOS 11 version now before releasing it, instead of just putting it out and then hoping it works on other people's devices and other version combinations. And it's far more easier to test now with the BootROM Explorer.
I saw a question in chat here from can we flash custom SEP with this?
Go on. Oh yeah.
Answer is no. We cannot, because the secure enclave is its entire own thing. And with this bug, we get access to pretty much everything on the entire device except the secure enclave. Yeah, that's that.
So MacUser669 asks, does Checkmate have any use for me right now? Beyond just being interesting, I don't really think so, as far as I know.
If you happen to have
a fancy.
Then sure, but if you have one of those, then you probably would, or you wouldn't be asking that question. So
if you're a normal user, then maybe wait a week.
You know
or
what
so?
Would be cool?
Maybe two. I don't know how long, but someone's gonna put it in a nice jailbreak.
What were you gonna say, Sparky?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Oh, you were gonna
you know what'd be cool though is if we could if we made JTAG cable.
I feel so bad.
Yeah. Oh my god! Wow, that is British.
I'm British. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, is if we made like cheap JTAG cables that didn't use like confidential software.
I mean, sure. Give it a bit.
Yeah, it will happen. It will definitely happen.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. Okay, will there any SEP and baseband issues when downgrading? As far as I know, you can just sort of install it and go around SEP, but obviously you'd lose sort of biometric functionality, as I understand it. Is that right?
If you go around SEP, then yes.
to an unsupported version of iOS without using the newest version of SEP to sign it with, basically.
I mean, it should be able to integrate SEP fully, but I mean, there are issues when downgrading with those two components. Work around them with the exploit, but it will take some time.
Yeah, so when you're trying to install an old version, what you can't do is take the old SEP with you, because the chip won't accept it. So what you also cannot, the two things that you could do would be either to just leave SEP out of the picture, and then you would lose biometric functionality, or you could actually use the SEP OS for the latest signed version and patch up your kernel drivers to support the new protocol. Mm-hmm. And then you would have it all, but that's quite some work.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out for everyone who's continuing asking this question, this exploit will not lead to an untethered jailbreak. It's not happening because the bug is in the USB stack and you need to boot the phone and unlock it to be able to have access to that.
You just need to have it connected to a USB host, which can execute.
Oh, I heard it needed to be booted and unlocked to do it.
No, it needs to be
No. You need to boot into hardware DFU.
Okay, you need to boot into DFU.
You basically need to boot it with a certain key combination and.
Yeah. As for booting, having it untethered, I don't think that will work. I'm guessing a reboot, resets it.
Yes.
I mean, we could sell cases though, things like that, which do it for you.
yeah, you could.
Okay. Right. Next question. How long do you think the boot ROM exploit will take it to implement into modern jailbreaks, and what do you think of the stability?
There's no reason why it should be unstable at all. It should be basically the same experience as stock iOS jailbreak.
From what XCMX told me, there's actually the thing in boot ROM itself, at least on some versions, is a race condition. So it may take a few tries, but once you actually hack the thing, you can load patched software, and there's no instability comparable to what we currently have with Jailbreak D or whatnot, where it's basically you have a daemon in the background constantly patching stuff. You wouldn't have that. You could just straight up load a patched kernel and be done with it.
Okay. Where is Saguza? He's right here.
yes, who asked that?
That was Razor2312.
How long ago? I'm gonna have to scroll up quite a bit.
A lot of these questions were all asked before we even started. Will it be... So for example, a tethered downgrade of my iPod 5G to iOS 6 would it be possible without any type of SSH with this new exploit? The answer would be yes.
Yeah, should be.
Especially considering you don't have to deal with SEP as well, so there's absolutely nothing to worry about there. Do you think it could reach the point where you could sort of, carry a Raspberry Pi around and do it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you would still need a battery pack to power the Raspberry Pi, I guess, because your phone can't do that, but yeah, it should work.
Okay, very interesting. So obviously this is a hardware thing, but is there anything Apple could do software-wise to somewhat mitigate this issue?
No.
I heard that Checkmate is tethered. Does that mean if you downgrade or dual boot your device using Checkmate, you will need a laptop to open up your phone every time you restart?
No. It should be possible to do it without that.
To some extent. Well, the issue is, if you currently have iOS 12.4 installed on your, iPhone 5S, and you want to go back to iOS 7, then you can have a setup where you can still boot iOS 12.4 untethered, but to boot into iOS 7, you will need to connect your laptop on every boot.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So, will the SSH blobs from my 6S to 9, my 6S from 9 to 13 be usable regardless of SEP and baseband? This is a tethered exploit as well as a computer. As well, so a computer would be required to boot the unit.
If you have blobs, then you should be able to use them regardless of SEP or baseband, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, but they have to be compatible with the version.
What do you mean?
If you have blobs, but you downgrade to a version without...
Yeah. It's the same game with SEP again.
Yeah.
SEP still needs to be compatible. So it's basically...
Or patched up.
Or you need a PC.
Someone saying, I heard rumors on Twitter that Apple did not patch the boot ROM exploit for A12 plus devices.
No, they did.
The initial bug is basically still present, but it requires another bug, which was patched in A12. Yeah. And the initial bug was then patched in A13.
A12 is still not exploited. So you have the actual bug that requires a condition to be true, and the bug is still there, but you can't reach the condition anymore. So
yeah, and that's only, or at least we didn't find a way into the bug.
Everyone's talking at the same time. What?
I was gonna say, so A12 still has the bug, but no condition. A13 doesn't have the bug or the condition.
We don't know.
As far as I know.
I thought we're not sure about A13 yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
No one has dumped boot ROM because those devices cost like tens of thousands.
How hard is it to do? I'll do it now if you want.
A13? No, I mean, you need like.
Yeah, I have an iPhone 11.
Yeah, but you need a specially refurbished iPhone.
Right. Okay. I catch your drift.
I mean, but the chances that the bug is still in there are pretty low, I would say, because the boot ROM was compiled around the time of the iOS 12 betas, and you can see that with the version numbers and iBoot and stuff like that, and because of that, it's probably not there anymore.
Okay,
someone actually mentioned quite a cool idea. Could a tool be developed for iOS devices to exploit other iOS devices, for example, an iPad exploiting an iPhone?
In theory, as far as I know, the USB controller inside an iPhone also supports what's called host mode, so they can also interface with other devices.
Well, it definitely does.
In theory, it's possible to hack your iPhone with another iPhone using a lightning-to-lightning cable, but I don't know how doable that is.
USB to lightning, right?
Yeah, something like that. You just need to connect both devices.
So here's one for you. So what if, for example, you have one device which is jailbroken with, say, I don't know, Chimera or Uncover or something, and then could you use that to implement, well, to basically... Okay, one device jailbroken with a regular jailbreak, and then you have another device that's in DFU mode. Would you be able to use that jailbroken device to pwn this one?
Presumably, yes. Yeah.
Theoretically. But whether anyone will bother implementing such a thing is questionable.
Okay, is it possible to sign Flash unsigned SEP using the checkmate exploit? No. SEP is... No. Yeah, SEP is still exactly where it was. Other OSs we discussed a bit earlier. Other OSs are possible. That is a thing that can happen. It would require a lot of work, I believe, just to interface with the processor, because...
Yeah, all the drivers are a problem. But if they get updated, then it would be possible.
Yeah, the biggest issue with like other OSs is you need drivers to support all of Apple's proprietary hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And that because like even the screen doesn't use like a proper standard. It's just Apple's way of doing it.
Will it be possible for any dev with, of course, enough talent to do it to make custom firmwares and whatever features included with this exploit? It would need a lot of work with regards to drivers, but it is certainly possible with this exploit as far as I'm aware, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
When will Seguza's talk start? About 40 minutes ago. Okay, so don't we need to connect our phone to the PC to start the custom IPSW? Yeah.
And to boot unsigned code, you need to plug your device into some sort of USB hub. So that could be a PC, theoretically it could be another iPhone, it could be a Raspberry Pi Zero, but there needs to be external hardware.
It could be our special battery case.
Coming to a merch store, Dynastic Lock Code. I have to plug there, otherwise Jamie, He doesn't feed me for weeks.
Okay, do you know what excites me the most?
Go on.
How we can use short look immediately after a new version.
For God's sake.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I mean, but for tweak development.
I don't know if you've gathered yet, but Jamie works for Dynastic. Right. So next, can a battery case that that can run the exploit can be developed? Yes. Okay, yeah, I've already answered that one. That one's already been answered. Is Coolboot still in active development, and would it, in theory, support 64-bit devices now? I know there was 64-bit K-Loader, because that was discussed with Triangle a few weeks back. As to whether this exploit could lead to dual booting, I would let some of the others answer that. So something like Coolbooter using this exploit.
It's conceivable, but obviously doesn't exist yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, Coolbooter works on device, if I recall correctly, yes. Right? Yeah, that's going to be an issue, because,
okay.
Again, you need the USB thing.
This isn't like a question in the chat, but this is a question from me. So could a tool theoretically be developed to, say, on like a computer, where you would choose a software version, you would choose a device, and it would download the IPSW and handle that for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So is this live broadcast available after it's over? After I've edited it, yes, it will be available. As for a time frame, it's usually just before the next episode. I was actually planning to edit the last episode today, but obviously we had a huge piece of news come out. So that's the end of the questions we have so far. If you have any more questions, please ask them now.
Oh, I actually have one more thing as well to say. The thing is, like, this might take a while for us to get anywhere, like, consumer level, because we haven't had tooling for this since, like, the iPhone 4S. Like, people just stopped working on this stuff because we haven't had exploits for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't expect, like, jailbreak your phone next week with this.
Yeah. Okay, let's ask the biggest question. Are we able to boot our devices with verbose mode?
Yes. With what?
Yeah.
Verbose.
Ah, yes.
That's what I'm looking forward to the most. Yeah. And custom boot logos.
Yeah, isn't this basically the same as the Switch's hardware bug? Yes, as far as I'm aware. That was also a boot
bug. Well,
I think.
Basically the same, yeah.
But Nintendo patched it in hardware, like, immediately after it happened.
Yeah, I guess a bug class is the same, but, yeah.
I personally don't see Apple recalling every iPhone 8 on sale, and like
they won't recall them. They can. Yeah. Well, they've done previously when it was 0 day, quote unquote. I affected the latest hardware. Was they just released a new chip revision with an updated firmware?
So do you see them changing the iPhone 8's already in production to not be immune to this?
Well, I mean, yeah. So theoretically, they could. The chance that they will is extremely low, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because they already produced so many chips. Yeah, but it will take a while, definitely, because they already produced many chips for the iPhone 8 and have them still in stock.
Yep. And, yeah, and there's obviously a backlog of stock for the iPhone 8 as well that they have to go through first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, question from Kerr. What effect does this have for activation lock / stolen iPhone / passcode brute forcing? Passcode brute forcing, no, I believe, because SEP.
Would it be possible, but you can't remove it.
I was going to say, would it be possible on the 4S to fire, 4S and 5? Because those are supported by the exploit.
Yeah, should be possible.
Pretty sure, yes.
Okay.
And what was the other thing?
Activation lock.
Yeah, you could get around that.
Damn.
Yeah, you can get around it, but you can't remove it.
Okay. That's still pretty big, though.
I mean, it's good. But
you just change the serial number to a valid one.
Right.
Maybe that's enough to say about that.
Yeah, let's maybe not tell people how to get around
it. I was going to mention it earlier.
It's fine, we can edit that out.
I mean, it's going to be a matter of time, but...
talk yeah, when episode guess. Releases, theft rate goes up 1,000%. But yeah, no. Okay, so does anyone have any more questions, or should we wrap up?
When ETA? Just...
when ETA? When ETA is...
ETA is on.
Yeah.
Actually, one thing I just saw on Twitter, one guy said he's waiting for a prepared statement by Apple, and QWERTY replied, and I agree with him here, I doubt they'll acknowledge it publicly at all.
Yeah, Apple yeah. will try to bury this because there's nothing they can do to fix it, like on devices that are already out there.
They're just not going to acknowledge it. Basically, same as with the rest of jailbreaking. They just act like it's not there.
You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the Forbes article that says Apple's iPhones have a nasty surprise.
Oh yeah, that's less than 24 hours out, I'm sure.
I'm sure they've already got it prepared, just in case.
Yeah.
They've been waiting for a boot ROM exploit for just this moment. Right, so I have a
when ETA.
So, thank you everyone for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the episode. And I hope you...
Oh, wow.
What?
Ben, you shouldn't be posting that on Instagram.
Is that really what you interrupted the outro for, Jamie?
Yeah, the asterisk photo.
What's asterisk? I've never heard of.
Anyway.
I am sending that to
anyway.
Asterisk?
Okay, so thank you everyone for listening in. I hope you've come away from this this talk a little more informed about the bug, a little more interested in the bug. If you have any questions, you can reach any of these guys on Twitter, but don't ask them when ETA, they'll probably kill you.
when ETA?
But yeah, I hope everyone enjoys. I will edit this pretty soon, and it should be up before the next episode is out. I'm sorry to have delayed Curb 2 weeks in a row, but things are what they are, and you should expect that talk board next week.